Now you should listen to this, because this concerns you.
Hello, friends and neighbors. This is your little podcast buddy, Dave. This is Dave Slusher from the Evil Genius Chronicles. And it is Sunday, December 4th, 2005. I am glad to be with you. I'm always glad to be with you. But I'm particularly glad to be with you. You know, I'm a little, again, as always, not doing as many shows as I like. But part of, I have an excuse because I've been really, really busy editing, anonymously editing Wikipedia to increase my role in various things. And that just takes a lot of time, you know. I'm going to edit my role, to up my technical proficiency and things. But I can't figure out Wikipedia. That web form thing, it's so hard. Podcasting is a breeze in comparison. You know what I'm saying? All right, friends, let's do the business. You're listening to the music of the Gentle Readers. They are fantastic. They are a five-headed saint on their way to group canonization in the Catholic Church. And they're at gentlereaders.com. Thank them for me. I love them. You should too. There you go. They let us use this music, I think, in perpetuity. We've not been clarified on, we renewed the thing, but I'm not exactly sure how long we renewed it for. I hope for forever, because I love this music. And this show is sponsored in part by iPod Observer. It's the holiday season. It's getting on towards that time where you need to take some of your hard-earned dough and dump it into crap for various people. And if you want to know what kind of crap you should buy, and accessories for the iPods or iPods themselves, they're a pretty good bet, because everybody either has an iPod and needs accessories or wants an iPod. I mean, it's the way it works in the sheep-driven consumer society. And if you want help guiding the sheep, the shepherds are here. iPod Observer. They're at iPodObserver.com. You want to know stuff about it? They know the stuff. Go check them out. They help keep the lights on, so grant them a little transitive karma. You know what I'm saying? Transitive karma. Alrighty, let's get rolling. It's weird. When I sit down to do this, I actually found it very difficult to prepare the notes for this show. Not because there's nothing going on, but because there's so much going on. Like picking things to talk about is just difficult. It was tough, and so I decided part of what I'm going to do is I've got feedback that has been building up. And there have been various reasons to not present it, to stall. You know, I've had all these kinds of things. They have interviews from PME and stuff like that. So we're gonna kind of get to some of the stuff I've been neglecting. And I'm going to start off with some feedback from Ted Reakin of Island Podcasting. And here's the thing about Ted, and Ted does this. I love this. Ted includes, like, his own musical break. So he sends me, like, an audio comment, but it's, like, produced with a song at the end. So his song will become my song. And it may not be one I would have picked for myself, but it works with, it fits, it's his comment. In the context of his comment, it makes perfect sense. So here we go. This is Ted Reakin. Take it away, Ted.
Hey, Dave, it's Ted Reakin here from Island Podcasting. I just finished listening to your show about the podcast expo, and your ending piece talking about the story of Guy Fawkes and the person who you met in the airport. There's something about this medium that and the way the world is unfolding that's really, I don't know, synchronicity, serendipity, I don't know what the right word is, but I just finished posting my November 11th show on the weekend, and November 11th here in Canada is called Remembrance Day, and so I had kind of a Remembrance Day theme to it, and I was looking on the PodSafe Music Network to see if I could find some music that had a war theme or a peace theme, and interestingly, songs with war in the title outnumber songs with peace in the title many, many times. But anyway, when I typed in war, I was looking through the artists, and there was an artist by the name of Tom Robinson, who I used to listen to in the 80s. And Tom Robinson is a social justice activist, social critic working out of England. He now has a show on the BBC. And he's a musician as well, had a band called the Tom Robinson Band. And I thought, what are the chances that this is the same Tom Robinson? So I followed the links, and sure enough, it's the Tom Robinson who had the Tom Robinson Band in the 70s and 80s. He now works for the BBC, continues to be a musician, a social activist for social justice and a social critic and so on. I wrote for permission, asked him if I could use the song in the podcast, and he wrote back saying, sure enough, by all means, I'm flattered by the attention, go ahead and use them. So the interesting thing is, though, that the song that I'm playing is one called Looking for a Bonfire, and it's the story, the musical story, of a young child who's out on Guy Fawkes Day, dressed in a cap and a mask, and he's collecting pennies, as they do in England, as part of that tradition, waiting for the fireworks and the bonfires. So here it is, within a 2 or 3 day span of me posting that show, you talking or bumping into somebody in the airport, talking about Guy Fawkes, ending your show with a discussion about that. And it just makes me think that we're connected around the world in ways that we don't often think about, maybe because they're not made explicit, but there's something about this medium of podcasting that's allowing those connections to become more apparent and to become more observable. So whether we call it synchronicity or coincidence or serendipity, whatever name we give to it, I find it fascinating. And here's the clip. It's called Looking for a Bonfire. It's by the Tom Robinson Band. It's available on his site, tomrobinson.com. And there's many, many others that he has. Fine musician, lots of important messages. So anyway, we'll talk to you again. Bye for now.
Call the memory thing before the fireworks start.
right, there you go. That was Tom Robinson with Looking for a Bonfire via Ted Rieken of Island Podcasting. So this is kind of an odd chain, but it works. And is it just me, or is that song very kind of Oingo Boingesque? It was definitely 80s-rific, and I would be very surprised if that wasn't recorded in the late 80s. I have not looked up the provenance of that particular song, but I liked it. It was all right. And it was cool that out of nowhere, a bunch of Guy Fawkes conversation started roughly at the same time. And it's also worth noting that the V for Vendetta movie will be coming out soon, which was written by Alan Moore and is highly, I mean, Guy Fawkes imagery is the movie, right? V is, clad in Guy Fawkes gear, and that's the Guy Fawkes symbolism is part of the movie. And it will be coming out actually at a very timely point in our world political history, so can't wait for that. So I started the show by farting around a little bit, kind of subtly or not so subtly referring to an incident that happened in the Podosphere and Wikipedia with Adam Curry. And I'm not going to talk about it too much. Actually, not at all. But I'm going to... I've been thinking on some of these issues ever since my talk, or even before my talk, is what's the thing... Because it's been obvious. I have a bug up my ass about some of the networks. And as we said, now that I'm with Backbeat Media for the ad stuff, I'm in a network, but to me it feels different. And so what really bugs me about the networks? And I have not been able to identify that. I think actually now because of this incident, I'm getting closer. And it has to do with, if you listen to my PME talk, which I forgot and neglected to mention, is now posted. There's a link to it. And I'll put it in the show notes again. But you can download the audio of my talk. But my talk is all about the connection, right? And the connection is what matters to me. And there's something about the network that is counter to that flow. It's less about, peer-to-peer. It's less about equivalent power relationship and more about rebuilding a pyramid with the network and the network properties on top. And I just don't like that. And I feel that it's just the wrong direction for this medium, and it bugs me. And so that's kind of why I've had this burr under my saddle, this bug up my ass about them ever since, because it just feels like the wrong maneuver. It feels like putting the wrong power structure in, and it's the power structure we're used to. I mean, it's a very familiar power structure, but I think it's not the correct power structure here. And so more and more as I think about this, I think in terms of power. And, your newspaper, you can write a letter to the editor to your newspaper, which appears on one page of the paper, but you can't write a story to counter a story you think is bogus. And you can, email Bill O'Reilly when you think he's full of shit, which would be, I think, 100% of the time. But you can't have another show on Fox after him to rebut him. And so that's important. But you can have a podcast to rebut a podcast. And so that power relationship is important. And, Marshall McLuhan, the medium is the message. When you have the equivalent power of somebody else, that alters the message. That is part of the message. So I'm going to read a quote from a book called The Faces of Science Fiction by a woman named Patty Perrette, who... I don't want to digress too far, but it's one of the few people who ever canceled an interview with me for a reality break. Big pain in the ass. Not her, but I mean the situation was. And she did two volumes of... I was going to interview her on Faces of Fantasy. She, like 10 or 15 years earlier, she had done Faces of Science Fiction. She just traveled the country taking photographs of writers and getting this a little couple paragraphs from them and then published a book of it. This is the quote from Isaac Asimov in that book. Now, bear in mind, this is Isaac frickin' Asimov, right? Who had written hundreds of books and, 50 or 60 novels, some of the most influential in the field. I haven't a modest bone in my body, at least when it comes to science fiction. I'm proud of what I've produced, but not of me. My stories, and those of several hundred other writers, are the face of science fiction. To put it as briefly as I can, I'm against personality cults, even when I'm the beneficiary. And so if you think about that, that explains what bugs me about some of the networks and some of the situations we have in podcasting in a nutshell. And I think it needs little or no further comment. I'm against personality cults, even when I'm the beneficiary. Preach on, the late Brother Asimov. Okay. I'm going to play another song. This one is by Ronnie Marlar, who, if you remember, he was the guy who presented the Ruby remix I played a while ago. And this is a kind of somber. I'm keeping with it. I'm actually Ruby. Ronnie sent this to me, so I didn't have to dig for this one. But thus far, I've kept to the Christmas song per show. We'll see how long I can maintain this. But this is a kind of a somber song. This is Christmas Time of the Year.
It's Christmas time of year, time for hope and cheer. But I miss you so much, wish that we could stay in touch. But I guess it's not to be. And the snow is coming down, the front yard's all wide. There's a cold wind that blows like nobody knows through this Christmas night. And I miss your voice to comfort me, singing soft and low. You'd sing to me, I could close my eyes and see, soothe my very soul. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child. Christmas time of year, time for hope and cheer. I think I'll run down to the mall, fight the crowds, and buy some Christmas cheer. But the best things in life, they ain't things that you can buy. But unfortunately, nothing's really free. Sometimes you can't get what you like. And I'd like your voice to comfort me, singing soft and low. Yeah, you would sing to me, I can close my eyes and see, soothe my very soul. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, sleep in heaven.
All right, that was Ronnie Marlar with Christmas Time of Year. And where's my music? All right, Christmas Time of Year from Ronnie Marlar. And thank you very much for bringing that to my attention, Ronnie. I am going to play something. The iPodder X product, has to change its name because the miserable pricks at Apple sent them a cease and desist, as they did to iPodder Now Juice. Of course, iPodder X got hit with the same turd ball. So I think that sucks. And even though I use Apple computers and have primarily for many years, and in fact, I am doing very, very well on the Apple stock I bought a couple years ago, which is quadrupled and quintupled in value. As a company, sometimes I just fucking hate Apple. I mean, they really can be just such cocksuckers. It's really horrible. These guys bug the hell out of me sometimes. God. Damn, and this is one of those things. So, in honor of the change of the name, I'm going to play this one last time. And they used to be my sponsor. They were my very first sponsor. They got, they were the first people to bring money in, which started the capital ball rolling, which let me get t-shirts, which started the whole thing. And now I've been cash flow positive since the first time I got a nickel from them. And I will always, always be eternally grateful to August and Ray for that. But since they're changing the name, this thing that I worked really hard on and put a lot of production into will never, ever be valid again. So for old time's sake, we're going to play this goofy frickin' thing one last time. iPodder X. It's a Macintosh client for getting podcasts. Or is it iPodder X, iPodder X, iPodder X? To use iPodder X is to understand joy. iPodder X, iPodder X, iPodder X. iPodder X is liquid sunshine bottled in puppy dog's breath. iPodder X, iPodder X, iPodder X. iPodder X leads me through a field of delicious poppies. It covers me in rose petals, pulls down my pants and taunts me. iPodder X, iPodder X, iPodder X. iPodderX.com. Register iPodder X and use the coupon code EvilGenius and you will save $5, $5, $5. Or will you? iPodder X, iPodder X, iPodder X. That could not be stupider. And the guys really liked it. And remember, I had the contest. If you weren't around back then, I had a contest on who was I making fun of? Like, what person was I making fun of and trying to do that in the style of? And I got dozens, I mean, dozens and dozens of people guessing who I was in the commercial, for Christ's sake. And the answer was James Lipton of Inside the Actor's Studio, which either I didn't do it very well or he's kind of obscure because, I mean, people kept guessing and guessing and some really good guesses, but that was him. So goodbye, goofy iPodder X thing. You will never, ever be valid again, but it was fun knowing you. God. That's actually when I felt that there was a market for a different kind of sponsorship and a playful, I mean, I guess ads, do these kind of goofy things, but I had no approval. iPodder X had no approval into that. I just did it. And it was really cool. So you get a little freedom to be a little goofier when you when there is no approval on the other end, let's say. And I guess the part of the thing that makes this all work is that the stakes are so low that you're able to do things like that. Nobody's going to let you say, okay, you're $1 million ad budget. Nah, I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to do. Just you like it or lump it. Yeah, ain't going to happen. Now, somebody who has been very, very patient with this, with his feedback is Mike Seafang. You might know him. I heard him a long time ago on G'day World. G'day World. Or he's got a venture called Learn Dog that he's been working on, and he's also got a podcast. And he responded to my space telephone episode, or to a few. I can't remember if he was responding to a single episode or a couple episodes, but he, along with Ted Rieken and a few other people, Paul Smith of the Gatorcast, he's been kind of in the distributed conversation. So I'm going to play a little snippet of one of his episodes where he was talking about some of the issues that I had raised. And, oh, I'll be honest, I can't remember. I hate playing the quote, me being quoted by the other people, because, you know, y'all heard it once, and that's plenty, right? You did your time. So I can't even remember where in the conversation we're starting, but I think it'll be self-evident.
Okay, so a lot in that. Let's get back to the early part, this notion of you're only getting a thousandth of me if you're skimming my blogs, and if you're prepared to be a little bit freaking patient, you might get a deeper connection. That's what we're trying to explore here, and that's obviously something that LearnDog is going to have to do if we're going to engage effectively with kids and if we're going to help them receive benefits through recognition, through safe and positive recognition. Now, clearly we can't scale this type of connection as easily as we can the text connections that occur in blogs and the phenomenon of Google ranking and all those marvellous things. But I think Dave's definitely got something here, and this is what excites me about the possibilities of getting kids in tiny communities to do podcasting, and maybe selecting some of those communities to get a little bit bigger on a local basis, and those who want to be rock stars, maybe helping promote them on the global stage. I think there's something fairly profound behind these connections that you can have with people using your RSS and building your audience, but what happens when audio is part of the transmission. So that's the point. That's what we're on about here today. I desire to learn how to connect more deeply. I'd love to connect up with Dave Slusher and chew the fat with him on a whole bunch of issues. I've been patient, Dave. I've been listening to your stuff since about January. Let's see how we go. Let's see if we can connect the other way. Now, obviously, connecting with busy people is going to be rather interesting because there's only so many listening hours in a day. But let's give this here little experiment a whirl and see what happens.
All right, there you go. That was Mike Seafang with his space telephone transmission aimed this way. It was received. And so I don't remember how long ago this was. A month ago? It was a long time ago. It was well before PME. But I didn't fit in, and so I don't know if that diminishes, if that makes me look like a twat, as Brits or Aussies might say. But I heard it, and I just was looking for a good time to use it. And so what I was saying before about the power relationship and the connection, Mike is kind of hitting on the same thing. And so the ability, the use of the connection, it all kind of comes together. That was my talk. That's what's important to me. That's what's important to Mike. What is important to a lot of people. And so he's talking about, you know, LearnDog is I'm going to betray my ignorance as I haven't read up that much on it. But, you know, it's an educational project. And so this fits in kind of with what I want to do here. And so I'll kind of float a little of the idea, and I'm hoping to get this together for February, is to get the actual physical uplift meetings going. And I'm not going to do it in December for obvious reasons, because everybody's busy and their mind's on other things. Same reason I didn't have the Myrtle Beach BloggerCon, which will never happen now. But same reason I didn't have it last year in December, because, you know, everybody's got somewhere to be. And then in January is that podcasting thing up in Duke, or it's up in Durham or Raleigh. So I don't want to compete with that. So I think early February is when I'm going to have the Uplifter South Carolina meeting and get as many people together as I can here in Conway. And then we'll try to make it a monthly thing around the state where we just gather a group of people into a place, preferably where you can get food and drink, preferably with free Wi-Fi, and people will bring their stuff. If you're interested in learning, show up. If you're interested in teaching, bring what you got and we'll show you. If you want to know how to blog, you know, people will show you how to set up a blogger account. We'll sit with you and set one up. If you want a podcast, we'll show you how to do that. If you want a video blog, bring your stuff. We'll show you as best we can, and we'll do what we can. And as a group, we'll try to get more and more people participating. And we'll see how this goes. And a listener to the show very kindly donated a domain name, which we can use. And I'll have to look it up. It was uplifter.org, I believe. So I need to get stuff up and ready on that. And I think eventually what I'd like to do is have geographic subdomains. You know, so we'll have carolinas.uplifter.org for, you know, my thing. But if you want to start a group somewhere else, you can do it, and we'll set you up a little web page. And we'll just see how all this goes. We roll forward into the future. So this is the stuff, this is where it's getting exciting to me. And, you know, I like that people are getting interested. I like that people are talking about these ideas and thinking about them. And it seems to be catching on. And it's just, you know, listening to getting the kind of seal of approval from Phil Terone. That was a cool one when I interviewed him at PME. That this idea sounds pretty cool because, like I say, the maker philosophy is a large portion of the, you know, the large, large plank in the Uplifter platform. And if somebody wants to, if we want to work on a distributed Uplifter manifesto to go along with other things, that might be a cool thing to proceed with. And I think we're going to play one more song and get out. And this song is by friend of the show, a woman whose music I've loved my entire adult life. I've been infatuated with for a long, long time. Played her last time. I'll probably play her fair amount in the upcoming weeks. This is Michelle Malone from her as yet unreleased, coming out in the spring album, Can't Kill the Rooster. This is, I guess, the sort of title track. This is Rooster 44. And friends, this is Dirty, Dirty Lowdown Blues. This, I had to wash my face after I listened to it. And I said, I don't think I'm going to play this one. Oh, yee. I had to, didn't want to get the keyboard all dirty. That's how dirty blues this is. Here we go. Michelle Malone with Rooster 44. Holy shit. You know, you see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? That was Michelle Malone from the upcoming album Can't Kill the Rooster with Rooster 44. Now you see why I've been infatuated with the music of this woman for going on 20 years now. Damn. Oh, all right, let's wind it down. The show is also sponsored in part by Real Reviews Radio. Michael Gohagan does a jam, slam, bam, awesome show over at Real Reviews. And he colors my movie choices. I can tell you, I go and I have a mental checklist now of the things he's done that I've never seen. And we go to the movie store and I'm thinking, what about Ron? I've never seen Ron. I've never seen, Swimming with Sharks. I want to see some of these movies. And it makes me think, and it actually alters my movie viewing habits with his thoughtful reviews. And by God, I dig the show. And Mike cares enough to throw a little money in here. So again, transitive karma, kids. Check it out and let me know what you think. RealReviewsRadio.com. All right, that is it. The show notes will be up at EvilGeniusChronicles.org. You can send me feedback to dslusher@gmail.com. You can leave feedback on the weblog, and you know, you can do what you want. It's a free country, and I hope it's an increasingly free world. And actually, I hope it's an increasingly free country. It's sort of been backsliding, but we'll get back there because it's what we do. So thank you for listening, and I hope that everybody out there lifts each other up. Bye.